Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. What happens when a monkey gets a hold of your camera, decides to take a selfie, and it's like the most amazing monkey selfie you've ever seen, and that photo goes viral? Who owns that photo? You? The monkey? Or nobody? Yes, this was a real story that happened back in 2011. You might remember hearing about this.
Yeah, you've probably seen the photo before. Remember this selfie of the grinning monkey a few years back? Well, today, those photos ended up before the Federal Appeals Court here in San Francisco. It's all at the heart of a long-running copyright case. As KPIX5's Emily Turner reports, it's a battle between monkey and man over who owns those photos.
His name is Naruto, and he shot to stardom after taking these selfies on a wildlife photographer's camera. But his lasting impression will be made in federal court.
There's Naruto in the middle of an Indonesian jungle taking the, like, grinniest, happiest selfie in internet history. Well, obviously, it just went everywhere. And I will tell you, if you are having a bad day for any reason, just pull out a picture of Naruto because it's hilarious. It's adorable. It will make you smile. It will turn your day around. So David Slater, he's the wildlife photographer behind this. Okay, he doesn't even live in the United States. I think he lives in England. But he does his traveling, went to the Indonesian jungle, and he's just chasing shots of these amazing monkeys that are curious and funny and playful. But also, I think he said they were kind of a little camera shy. You got to get them used to the equipment. And so that's what he did. He set the camera up and he's got the tripods out and he's just kind of setting the stage, letting them get comfortable. Also risking the fact that they could just destroy all his equipment too. That's like a big deal. But as all of that's there, here comes Naruto and he grabs one of the cameras and he's fumbling around and he's clicking buttons and takes a picture of himself, takes the whole series of photos. Have you ever had your kid get a hold of your phone and they take 30 photos? One is like an up close of their chin and half of their eye, and maybe they're two good photos out of the bunch. That's exactly what happened, except with the monkey. David, being the photographer, loves the images and says, hey, there's some great shots here. I'm going to put this in a photography book, a wildlife photography book. Great. But then things get messy. Wikipedia uploads a photo on their site or WikiCommons, something like that, and says, hey, this is a great image to use. The monkey took it, so it's public domain. But David Slater's like, hold up a second. Like, I flew to Indonesia. I spent time in the jungle. I am setting up the shots. These are my cameras. All of this has to count for something. And then here comes PETA, all about animal rights, says, wait a minute. You didn't take this picture of Naruto. Naruto took this picture of himself, and therefore Naruto should hold the copyright. This went to court in San Francisco. Can you imagine the lawyers dealing with this? Here's ABC News Bay Area talking about it.
As ABC 7 News reporter Jonathan Bloom explains, today the court made its decision that animals can have rights, just not copyrights.
Monkeys see, monkeys sue will not do in federal court.
The oral arguments were straight up bananas.
Is there a similar holding by the Supreme Court that man and monkey are the same?
No, Your Honor.
Now, in a 50-page jungle of legal jargon, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled.
The monkey does not have standing to go into federal court to sue for copyright infringement.
Sanity prevailed, thank goodness, with the U.S. District Judge saying, no, animals do not hold copyrights. Naruto is not a legal person. However, Naruto still made money. Because in the settlement, David Slater agreed to donate 25% of future revenue off of the photo to the monkey sanctuary. Look, I love animals. My dogs, they are like family, but I know that they don't have legal standing. Not until I could actually see that they could argue their own case in court. Because do you realize how crazy this would get if Naruto got to hold the copyright claim? That means if you've ever posted a picture of your dog on Instagram, you're going to have to verify and get their permission to do so. For people that have had their pets in commercials, all of the earnings will have to go to your dog. You'll have to set up a pet savings account specifically for your dog, for his income. But on the flip side, I guess it means that David Slater could technically go after Naruto because Naruto stole his camera. use David Slater's camera without permission. That's where I fear this would have gone. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, one, because I just think it's a fun story and we need some more fun news in our day. So there you go. There's your fun story to share with your family. But it also brings up something that I see happening that's going to be unavoidable, something we have to figure out. It's with AI. There are a lot of great things about it. Most of us are using AI in some capacity for something, and there's some value in that. But we're also seeing AI churn out songs, art. I mean, you can ask it to paint you a picture of a sunrise and it'll do that in a matter of seconds. Books, it can write a whole book. And so we've got the same concern and the same question: who gets the credit? AI is not a person, but it's more complicated than the monkey story. So, like, does it have rights to the thing that it created? But it's also taking, the way it's creating is it's taking other things that humans have created to create the new thing that you asked it to create, like the sunrise I mentioned. And it's hitting a nerve, especially among musicians and artists that are saying, wait a second, don't put my music into this huge AI data set, because it's stealing my work. Authorship matters. The creator matters, and our work shouldn't be stolen or misused, but it does get very blurry, because where is the line between inspiration and theft? And that's where it gets really personal for us, because that's what we're doing. We pull information from Google and books and conversations and articles, and whatever we're living, experiencing, and reading and taking in, those things tend to spark ideas. This very episode, right? I had read an article on AI and copyright issues, and then that triggered the thought of Naruto, the monkey, and then it led me down another trail to read something else. And all of those ideas of something else that somebody else has written has triggered thoughts and inspiration in me to come at it from another angle, to make something new based on information that I have learned from other people, other sources. And so are we creators or remixers? Just a little side note here, something that has been on my mind with AI, because obviously the lines are getting blurred for what is truth, what is real. It's hard to tell anymore. We don't know if it's just AI created, fact versus fiction. Don't forget that AI, when it comes to faith, if we're using AI to deepen our faith or learn about scripture, let's be very careful, because again, it's taking these massive data sets and these inputs from all different people and scholars and information that, is it really true? Is it based on God's truth? We don't know what to believe with the news anymore. So as all of this gets so mixed up, we still have the Bible as we know it to be. If you don't have a Bible, my advice, go get yourself a real physical, tangible Bible. Because as everything else starts to get remixed and reprogrammed, we need to lean on the foundation. We need to lean on the truth. And if we have nothing else at all, and we can't tell what's right in the news and what's right at the church and what's right here, we will have God's word to guide us and to live a flourishing life. If that's all we have everything we need. So that's my little pitch today. But back to credit and our chase after credit, who deserves the credit? It reminds me, I think we've all experienced versions of this where somebody's taken something of ours, some idea or something we did. And it made me think of this time I was in elementary school, and I don't know what we were doing. We were talking about the environment, something like that. And I casually mentioned in class, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be a great idea if we started recycling at school? Just leave bins outside the cafeteria. We'd have one for glass and plastic and paper. And this was a big deal because recycling really wasn't a thing yet. This was back in the 80s. It wasn't really mainstream yet. And so the next day, this girl in my class, and she was running for class president, she comes in with her giant poster board, her campaign based on my recycling idea. I mean, she had the pie charts and everything. So I had thought, like, this would be a great idea. And she just took it and rolled with it. And you know what? Next thing I know, we have recycling bins in the cafeteria. She got all the credit. We have her to thank for it. I refused to use them. They felt so tainted, splattered with the injustice of copyright theft. It's a horrible feeling when somebody runs off with our work and our idea. This is like a universal struggle we all have, and why I think like Naruto the Monkey Story still matters today. It's the sting of stolen credit. Why does that credit matter to us so much? I think this actually gets to the heart of the issue here. I don't think it's about accolades and the praise and everybody saying, oh my gosh, this is wonderful and we're earning all these awards. I don't think it's that. The ownership, the way we want to take authorship and credit for what came from us, out of us, uniquely points us back to our creator. Because what comes out of us is given to us by our Father. And I don't think we talk about that enough, especially for believers that we see out. We say, oh, this pastor is amazing and this person's doing this and just all the wonderful things they've done. All of that, to God be the glory. We should be praising his name and thanking him for allowing us to use the creativity that he has put into every single one of us. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The camera, the monkey, the moment, the recycling bins, it's all his. John 3:27, a person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. Let's celebrate and praise the Father. Because the same feeling I had in fourth grade when that girl took my recycling idea and I said, hey, that's mine, is God saying that to us. Hey, that's mine, and you're taking credit and ownership of what I have given to you, what I shared with you. Are we letting God hold the copyright? So how did all this end for Naruto? Wikipedia said the photo was public domain since the monkey took it. U.S. copyright law sided with Wikipedia. PETA claimed Naruto owned the photo. David Slater, the photographer, won that one. Courts ruled no, animals cannot hold copyrights. And as the world gets increasingly complicated and more complex, leaving us with that question, who deserves credit for what we create? That it's all God's, it's his world, it's his tools, it's his glory, it's his creation. Thanks for joining me today on Insight Out, where we find bizarre, wild stories that teach us about the world and how we're living in it, even in the Indonesian jungles. And until next time, let's choose wisely and live our lives Insight Out. See you next time.